Welcome to Take Note on WPSU. I'm Lindsay Whistle-Fenton. Kai Dickens is an award-winning filmmaker whose work includes the documentaries Fish Out of Water and Soul Survivor. She has been recognized with a number of honors and awards, including a Focus Award for Achievement in Directing from Women in Film. Dickens' 2017 documentary, 0 Weeks, explores the paid leave crisis in the U.S. She debuted the film at the White House Summit on the United States of Women, hosted by Oprah and Michelle Obama. Kai Dickens, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
At the start of 0 Weeks, you talk about the fact that you'd never thought about paid leave until you became pregnant with your first child. And I should say that seems to be kind of a common theme that people don't think about this issue until they have to. Can you tell us a little bit about your personal experience with paid leave or the lack thereof?
Yeah, sure. And like you said, you know, I never thought about paid leave until I needed it. You know, and I consider myself pretty well-versed and, you know, up on public policy and that type of thing. And for some reason in my mind, I just assumed everyone got to take some time off if you had a new baby. And I was working in a small company. One of the provisions for FMLA, which is the unpaid Family Medical Leave Act, is you have to have worked with your company for over a year, and it has to have more than 50 employees, and you have to work full time. And even though I'd been there for 11 years, I was the first person to ever have a baby or to even need medical leave or, you know, any type of leave. And because we were small, my employer told me that they didn't have to do anything, and I would be lucky if they did something. And they first offered me 2 paid weeks. And when I fought for more time off and I met with my the executive producer at this small production company, he told me that if I continued to ask for more and fight for my job, I could lose it. And, wow. You know, it became a big battle. And I ended up being able to take a little bit more time. The 6 weeks were unpaid. And, you know, we ended up having kind of a lot of financial stress during that time period. And then when I went back to work, I was punished. And the whole thing made no sense to me because for 11 years, I was a very committed, important employee at that company, and it made me not feel loyal to them at all anymore. It really broke my relationship with them, and I left working for that production company to make this film full time.
Wow, and that's kind of a common experience is that people do suffer in their relationship with their employer oftentimes when they realize that this is the circumstance, and we'll get into some examples from the film. I should say in Pennsylvania, only 41% of working adults are both eligible and can afford to take FMLA leave, and 40% of Americans don't even qualify for it. As you said, there are a lot of stipulations. So what would paid leave look like as an alternative, and how does paid leave differ from normal sick time or vacation time?
Yeah, sure. Well, sick time, you know, tends to be a few days off you need here or there for a routine illness. And paid leave happens, you know, is going to be needed by everyone, and it's for a larger life event. So let's say you are diagnosed with cancer or your spouse has an injury. You have an aging parent that might need you for 3 weeks to take you back and forth after an eye surgery. You have a new or adopted baby. It's for those longer time periods that we need in life when there's a life event or a crisis or something celebratory like a baby, but you need time off. And the way that it's, you know, now 5 states have passed a paid leave law. And the way it works is it's very similar to insurance. So just like you have car insurance or house insurance or medical insurance, you buy basically into this insurance pool and it's there when you need it. The only reason it becomes a policy discussion is because jobs need to be protected. And I'm sure we'll get into this more later, but the film takes great pains to really give examples both around the world and, of course, in our great country as well, where the states have passed it, that this is really a issue of productivity and it's great for business. It takes people off of government payrolls. I mean, overall, it's great for the economy. It's great for business. And, of course, it's great for families and marriages and children and health.
You talk about around the world. And in the title sequence of 0 Weeks, the graphics move through this map of the world displaying the number of weeks that each country gets. And I have to say, it's rather striking to see. And then the voiceover states that the U.S. is the only country other than Papua New Guinea that does not offer paid leave. How did we get so out of step with virtually every other country?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a few different reasons why. One of the historical reasons, which is the easiest to point to, is World War II. Where much of the world was involved. And though we lost so many, you know, brave lives in that war, our population was not nearly as impacted as other countries. So if you look at places in Europe and other places in the world, you know, what the women went into the factories or into the workforce, and they had to stay in the workforce because so many of the men in the country were, you know, their lives were lost in the war. And so they not only needed women to be working, but they also needed women to procreate, to repopulate the country's population. So a lot of countries had to make, you know, make policies that would allow them to stay in the workforce and have babies and do both at the same time. But beyond that, you know, I think the one of the biggest reason is money and politics. You know, our country faces that more than I think any other country in the world. And there's sort of like been identity theft where people are saying paid leave is bad for business, and that's just not true. And the lobbyists have really kind of controlled that narrative. And of course, we have our kind of American pick yourself up from the bootstrap narrative. And around the world, it's just unconscionable or unheard of that someone would have to go to work while battling cancer or go back to work within 10 days of having a baby, like 25% of Americans do.
You talked about some of the employers in the film that have instituted these policies. I should say Penn State, which is the biggest employer in this area, currently does not offer paid maternity leave for staff. You said there are some examples of companies doing this, but is this something taking policy out of it when left to their own devices? You see companies willing to institute a paid leave policy on their own?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, a lot of companies are, you know, doing stuff on their own just because they've seen that it's good. It's good for retaining workers, for that institutional memory of people who have been longtime employees. It keeps people productive. It keeps, you know, it's great for business and it's great for customers who frequent those businesses. But the problem about not having a national paid leave bill is that then it becomes a boss lottery. Some people are going to have a great boss who decides to offer paid leave, and some people won't. And of course, the people without paid leave tend to be lower income workers. It's funny because even companies like Amazon that have passed paid leave and have been in the news for having passed these generous policies, those are for the white collar workers, not the people stuffing the boxes and driving the trucks. So, you know, the absence of paid leave really exacerbates income inequality, gender inequality, because women are more likely to leave the workforce early to take care of a loved one, whether it be a sick parent or, you know, a husband or a child that might have like a chronic illness. And then it also exacerbates racial inequality. So a paid leave can really be a silver bullet to help a lot of our societal ills.
Just to clarify, so what is paid leave? How does it actually work? Is this something that employers would be responsible for covering, or an insurance company would cover? Is this something that the government would cover, similar in, you know, in a pay-in system in terms of like Social Security or Medicare?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different, there's debate over this right now. And, you know, there's a federal bill that has not been voted on, and there's other legislation. Both parties have introduced different types of legislation. And so, you know, that's up for debate. The way it's been working in most states that have done it so far, as it's been actually tied to their like short-term disability insurance that the states have. And so then the state pays it out, but employees pay into it. And it's usually about the cost of a cup of coffee per week but for the employee. And then that goes into a pool, and then it's there when you need it. And so it does not add to a deficit. It's being paid for by people. It is not paid for solely by a business owner. It's not breaking the back of business owners. You know, it's really on the onus of the employee, very similar to Social Security and Medicare.
One of the heartbreaking stories that you share in 0 Weeks is of a young couple whose twins died within a couple hours of being born. In the aftermath of their loss, they found themselves at the mercy of the husband's HR policy. Let's take a listen to a clip.
I reached out to HR, and she said, well, you know, it's 3 days for death of an immediate family member, but technically you get 6 days because there were two deaths.
I think of 6 days, and I just wanted to be like, okay, do you want me to tell you what the first 6 days was like for us? Day one, you're holding your children while they die. Day two, you wake up, relive the nightmare all over again. You go home to package slips that you have a delivery, and it's two car seats from his aunt and uncle from our registry. Day three, you have to find some way to memorialize them, and you realize you don't want to do a funeral, and there's no time. So, you know, we had a little memorial. threw pink tulips into the lake and wrote letters to them. Day four, you have to get all the paperwork done. You have to go to the funeral
home. Picking
out an urn. Day five, his family left. Day six, my family left. So those were our 6 days.
Wow, so bereavement leave, I think, is another one of those things that a lot of times people aren't thinking about until they're forced to think about it. Would paid leave cover bereavement time?
You know, that's something that's being debated. Most paid leave policies right now in the country do not cover bereavement leave. But that's an area that's starting to be considered because as we're, you know, starting to have these discussions and these debates, there's 20 states, more than 20 states, considering paid leave legislation. You know, if you're going to work that hard to get a policy passed, it makes sense to have the gold standard of the policy. And most people aren't protected for any type of bereavement. You know, a lot of people have to go back to work the next day. You're lucky if you have any type of time to grieve. And, you know, that's critical. Mental health is an issue in this country that, you know, has been in the news a lot lately. And being able just to grieve the loss of a child or a spouse can be life-altering. So, you know, that's part of the discussion, but it's not part of many policies right now.
And I think there is a concern about people, even if they are lucky enough to have paid leave, to actually take advantage of it. You had mentioned that in your personal experience, you felt like you were punished at your job for taking that time off. So I feel like half of this battle is as much about changing the culture as it is about changing the policy.
Right, exactly. And I think that's especially true for men. You know, in this day and age, the majority of men in poll after poll and study after study want to be great dads. They want to be present. They would love to take paternity leave, but culturally it feels very difficult. And for women, on the flip side, you feel like you don't want to stand out for taking something that the men aren't taking. You want to be able to, you know, compete in the same workforce and be valued in the same way. And I think there's this undue, unfair discrimination on women to, you know, if they are valuing their families, it appears they're not valuing their job, where the truth is for both men and women, they want to have a balance. They want to value their family and be there for the important moments. And so a major cultural shift does need to happen. But I do think, you know, it's the millennials are really leading the charge. They have been proven in study after study to value time over money. And to value people and to value family. And, you know, there's a lot of lip service about valuing families. And this policy comes right to the heart of it. What does it mean to value families if you can't be there in life and death situations?
An argument I've heard against paid leave, specifically when we're talking about paid maternity leave or paternity leave, is that it's unfair to employees who don't have children, either because they're losing out on paid time off or they're forced to take on extra work during their colleague's absence. How would you respond to those type of challenges?
Yeah, I mean, I think the argument around the country with these policies is for paid family leave, which means it's open to anyone. So if you yourself need to take time off because you're battling an addiction, because you tear your ACL, because you're diagnosed with a heart condition and need to, you know, have surgery, you are able to take that leave. I think most people out there have an aging parent. And if you don't have that time off, you either have to pay for a very expensive home healthcare worker to take care of them or put them into a home prematurely. And those aren't affordable options. And they're not healthy options for people because people heal better and do better the longer they're in their homes. But beyond that, I think it's important to remember, too, that, you know, taking care of our young, our newborns, and making sure that those babies bond properly with their mothers helps in every facet of society. And so I think overall, this is an issue that should matter to everyone. It's certainly not just an issue for new parents.
And that is something that comes across in the film. One of the women you talk to named Donna talks about her mom and this need of constant care. And Donna would come every day before work and spend the weekends. And her mother said she didn't want to be a burden on her children, but also didn't want to have to go into a nursing home. So this really is an issue that affects every single person throughout their life, from infants to senior citizens.
Right. I mean, we're all going to have something, you know, and what I like to say often in Q&As is, could you ever become injured or sick or have an accident? Could someone you love, if you do have a child, or if you have a partner, you know, or spouse, could that person, do you have a parent, could that person become sick or injured or just age? or could you have a baby? And if you answered yes to every one of those questions, which every person does, then paid leave matters to you and should be of great consequence, because it can be the matter. I mean, really, having a baby or medical emergency in this country is often a trigger into poverty. And that's, I mean, I just don't think that's who we are as a country.
If you're just joining us, this is Take Note on WPSU. I'm Lindsay Whistle Fenton, and our guest is Kai Dickens, director of the documentary 0 Weeks. So, Kai, as you just touched on earlier, paid leave is not just about maternity leave. It also covers illness. And one of the women featured in 0 Weeks, named Keisha, describes the predicament she found herself in after being diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. Let's listen to a bit of her story.
When I first met with my oncologist, his recommendation was for me to go on disability throughout my whole treatment. Realistically, that's not something I could do. Disability would only pay me $1,600 a month. My rent is $1,100, electric, gas, you know, all the necessities, groceries. I don't get no assistance from the government or anywhere. Everything comes out of my pocket. That worry of me choosing between work, kids, roof, food, that's an everyday struggle.
Still looking gorgeous.
Thank you.
Always.
FMLA was always an option. It covers the job, yes, but it's not bringing no paycheck in. I need a paycheck. I have to go to work. I went to work every day and left on my lunch break and did radiation and went back to work.
Most of the offices are not open on weekends, so there's no weekend appointments.
I would get chemo that Thursday, go back and get the shot that Friday, and I had Saturday and Sunday to heal. So most of the time, I was back at work that Monday.
You said this illness or even the birth of a baby can often be a road into poverty, or it gives people like Keisha these impossible choices of going to work while you're going through chemo, which if you've ever known someone who's dealing with chemo or dealt with chemo, it's just really mind-blowing to think about someone having to just go right back into work after a treatment. And she goes on to talk about the fact that she can't be productive because she's in a lot of pain. So is that something that employers seem to understand, is that the trade-off for a lack of leave, or I should say that policymakers understand, is a reduction in productivity in the long run, whereas if people were given maybe a shorter-term leave, productivity might recuperate faster?
I think smart ones do. I mean, retention and in the ability to keep an employee is such a cost savings from having to find someone, get them up to speed. You lose so much time, so much knowledge, and so much money when you have to replace a valuable employee. Keisha had been with that same job for 19 years. 19 years. She had an incredible amount of institutional memory. And here she is with a breast cancer that, had she been able to heal, she would have been able to beat, you know, probably in 2 months, 3 months, just having that rest. Instead, the cancer came back and came back and came back. And she kept getting infection after infection, and the whole time she's going to work, and while she's at work, she's freezing, she feels sick, she feels ill, she's not able to focus well, but she needed to keep her paycheck. And had she just had those 3 months off, this went on for years, and you know, had she had that time off, she'd be back at work. And I think smart employers get it. They 100% get the idea that people have families. They want to be good family members. They want to be good workers. They don't want to be punished for doing either. And if they are let themselves value their own health and their family's health, they will show up for you. They will be loyal. They will stay with that job. I mean, that is just, it's been proven in study after study. So, I think smart employers get it, and that's why some of the best and biggest companies and wealthiest companies and most successful companies in our country offer great paid leave policies.
Going back to some of the criticisms or misgivings people might have about paid leave, so that we're talking about the worker is covered, they are paid and they're given the time off that they need, but then again, I've heard people say that then it falls to the people who are still working to pick up the slack or take on extra work, and you know, that's not fair. So how are all these other countries that have more robust paid leave policies dealing with that and making that work in the employee's absence?
Yeah, I mean, there's kind of a few different ways that people deal with it. One is that there is a pool of talent, like temp talent, who, you know, maybe those are people who are retired or who are looking for work and who are skilled in that job and are willing to do temp work. Like, that is One really great option. Another great option is to have employees pick up the slack. And, you know, we went into a lot of different small and mid-size and even larger companies and talked to people. And a lot of those scenes are in the film. And employee after employee all over the country, it doesn't matter where you are, what size business you're working for, seem to really get it. Like, I'm happy to pick up a little bit extra slack here or there if it means that we can have this benefit and I too can use it when I need it. I mean, we haven't run into one person who said they wouldn't be happy to do that. I think within reason. Obviously, you don't want to give one person two full-time jobs to do while someone's out.
Sure.
But, you know, some companies pay overtime to the people that are picking up the slack. But, you know, and I think in a lot of the other countries, it's that temp system of having a temp worker come in and work for a while. And it really helps with unemployment. It helps people learn new skills. It helps companies try out possibly new future employees. Like, it's a really great system.
Another situation that in which paid leave would be beneficial is if during a birth there are health complications for either the mother or the baby. One of the women you interviewed in 0 weeks, Britta in Illinois, describes the difficulty she had when her baby was born premature. Let's listen to that clip.
My pregnancy was going along normal, fine. And then all of a sudden, I was about 27 weeks along, and I started having contractions. Out comes baby Ethan, very, very premature, very early. I had 4 weeks off, unpaid, recovering from my C-section. And then I needed to go back to work while he was still in the hospital and in the intensive care because I didn't have enough time. I found myself sitting in a cubicle at work while my son is in the hospital really fighting for his life. And that's a decision no parent should have to make.
Sadly, there are just so many of these stories. So are the stories of people like Britta or like Keisha or Donna, are these stories being brought to the attention of lawmakers?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, one of the ways sometimes that we found our subjects actually is, as I mentioned, there's over 20 states considering paid family leave bills. And when they have these hearings about whether or not to, you know, bring a bill to consideration within a legislature, there's people that come in and testify from both sides. It could be, you know, a chamber of commerce or a business lobby. And then often on the side that are for paid leave, it's often a lot of small business owners, large business owners who've seen this to be really successful. And of course, people who have had a life event. So time after time, there's just people going to these chairs, testifying, talking about not being able to be there with a new child, not being able to be there when their spouse was in the hospital for a major surgery or to go through chemo with them, or people who have an addiction that they can't take time off to kick it, people who weren't able to be with their parent when they were dying. I mean, we've heard horrible stories. And there's some of those scenes in the film 0 Weeks as well.
I should say there is no paid leave policy in Pennsylvania, although legislation has been introduced in both the state Senate and the House. What's interesting to me is that paid leave is one of these seemingly few truly bipartisan issues. We've got 83% of Democrats supporting it, 71% of Republicans. So I wonder, how is it possible that a national paid leave policy still has yet to be enacted with that level of support on both sides?
You know, it's money in politics. There is the a stronghold. There's a strong grasp of corporate money that's dictating how legislators are voting. And, you know, like you said, there's overwhelming support on both sides of the aisle. You know, the last state to win paid leave was Washington, and the legislation there was co-introduced by Republican legislators. You know, in Australia, I know that we're talking about America, but in Australia, paid leave was swept into the country when through the Conservative Party when they took hold of the country's, like, you know, chains of power. So it is a family values issue. It's a employee issue. It's a economic global competition issue. I mean, paid leave is so important for so many different reasons. While other countries are benching a full team of healthy, strong, mentally well citizens, we aren't doing that. And we aren't going to be able to compete in a global economy without having paid leave to make sure our workforce is the best and the brightest and the, you know, healthiest. So, you know, I always just encourage people, you know, listen to debates, find politicians. There are Republican and Democrat and independent politicians who are very, very excited about paid leave and vote for them if this is an issue that matters. And of course, phone calls and letters always make a difference. Write to your elected officials and talk to your employers.
Paid leave would, I would think, raise concerns like some of the other quote-unquote social safety net programs that there might be possibility for people to take advantage of the system. Is that a legitimate concern? Is there any evidence to suggest that this happens in places where there is already paid leave?
Yeah, you know, people have not been shown to abuse the system in the same way. You know, it's not like people tend to take all their sick days off to go to the Bahamas. It's just not been proven. It's you know, I think we can be afraid of anything as an employer or as a country, but you I think it's helpful to have data that backs it up. And one of the best things to look at is California, when they passed paid leave over 10 years ago. And the reason I say California is it's because the state that has had paid leave the longest. You know, there's a big debate that this is going to kill the California economy, that this is going to break the back of small businesses, that they're not going to be able to function and compete with other states. Well, California has one of the most robust economies in the world, not just in our country. And since they've passed it, they did a survey. And over 90% of business owners, small and large, said either there was no impact on their bottom line and their everyday functioning, or there was a positive impact. So, you know, there's just nothing that bears that out, that people abuse it. And I think, too, when we talk about work situations in this kind of like nebulous theory way, it's easy to be like, oh, someone would abuse it. But think of your own work. You know the people you work with. You're there with them every day. Often it's your friends. Often it's people that you trust. You want to get ahead. You want to be well-respected. You want to keep your job. You want to get promoted. You want to do well. You're not going to take 2 months off for nothing. That's not going to impact you well, especially because usually you know your employees and your coworkers well enough that you're not going to abuse the system unless, you know, sure, so there's probably an aberration. Of course, there's always going to be an aberration, but it's so unlikely. So that's just, you know, where I think the data falls.
Where does the fight for paid leave go from here? Have there been any progress since 0 weeks was completed?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we've been screening 0 weeks around the country, both, you know, corporations and schools and businesses and legislatures. And even right now with the 2018 election, we're having both conservative and more progressive people who are running for office screening it for campaign events. So it's definitely out there screening, becoming part of the conversation. There's over 20 states that are going to be considering paid leave in the next 2 years. And, you know, we hope that 0 weeks can just play a role in helping the public understand why this is important and the myths around it, that it's not just about parental leave. It's not just a women's issue. This is going to impact everyone. It's great for the economy. It's great for corporations' bottom lines, and it's great for public health. So we hope to myth bust and be part of the conversation so that our country can catch up with the rest of the world.
Hi, Dickens. Thank you for talking with us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Kai Dickens is an award-winning filmmaker. Her 2017 documentary, 0 Weeks, explores the paid leave crisis in the U.S. Hear more Take Note interviews on our website at wpsu.org/take note. I'm Lindsay Whistle-Fenton, WPSU.